Well, it's good to be with you this morning, and it's even better to have this passage before us, Psalm 16. Let's pray before we get into this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know each one of us, you love each one of us, and you long that we all find and know refuge in you. We pray, Lord, this morning we would know that we're safe in your presence. Please speak to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit through your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, I wonder how you're feeling this morning. Some of you may know that I'm in teaching. So I always feel that I get two new years. I have the new year we all get in January, and then I get a second one as we start the new school year next week in September. And both provide a moment to pause and reflect. So I wonder if you pause and look over not just the past 12 months, but the past 18 months. What are your thoughts and feelings? And in the midst of the challenges of the past 18 months have brought us, and for many of us, not just COVID-related, but wider health, family, work situations that have been incredibly challenging, I wonder, where's been your hope and refuge? When the storms of life come and the challenges come, where do you and I find our refuge? Where do we find our hope? Who or what do we turn to? And we know, don't we, often such questions and challenges come when there are difficulties in our life, whether that's health issues, bereavement, relationship issues, or challenges linked to money or work. And we've all been in sustained time, 18 months, of facing a general society challenge of COVID. But then within that, you'll also, I'm sure, just like me, have faced other personal challenges not linked to COVID. And for many of us, we've been, in a sense, forced to look at our lives and ask some of the big questions. It's also a time of challenging our faith, where we can be tempted to find solace, to find comfort in the things that are not to do with God, when we can give in to temptation, when we can wander and drift away from God. Times of challenge force us to confront the questions, where do I find my hope? Where do I find my refuge? Well, this is very much the focus and context of the passage before us today, Psalm 16. I must admit, it's not a psalm that I was especially familiar with, but I'm so thankful that I've been given it as our focus today, because it's a rich, rich psalm, full of encouragement, full of hope, and well worth meditating on. Well, if you have closed your Bible, please do open it up again, and we're on page 549, Psalm 16. And we can see it's a psalm of David, and it says a miktam of David. Now, it's unclear exactly what miktam refers to. It may be some musical term. But beyond that, there are two theories. The first theory is that it's a golden psalm. So miktam means it's a golden psalm. And it's a golden psalm because it clearly speaks of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. The other idea is that it's a psalm of cover, a psalm of refuge. Well, actually, I think both work. It's a golden psalm because it speaks of Christ, but he is our refuge. He is our cover. Well, it is a psalm of David. And again, it's not clear, but some believe the psalm may be linked to the events of 1 Samuel chapter 26. And many of you will know in 1 Samuel, David has been anointed king and Saul has pursued him. And in chapter 26, David went to Saul's camp in the dead of night and took the spear and the water jug from his side. David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. David proclaims his loyalty to Saul. But around him, he's got challenges to turn away from God to other gods and temptation within. And he says in verse 19 of chapter 26, "They have now driven me from my share in the Lord's inheritance and have said, 'Go, serve other gods.'" So this psalm and the words in Psalm 16 may be David's response to the events of 1 Samuel chapter 26. David is facing the challenges within of temptation and without in terms of being on the run under attack. So how does David respond? Well, we see straight away in verse 1 that David seeks God as his refuge. Have a look at verse 1. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. The dictionary definition of refuge is a place that gives protection or shelter from danger and trouble. We know within the Bible the use of refuge reminds us that actually we live in a world affected by sin, a world of dangers around us and brokenness inside us. We know that, don't we? We see it on the television. We experience it personally. We can't avoid this. We live in a fallen world due to your sin, due to my sin. We can only seek shelter from them, and God is the only refuge. The greatest need for each one of us is shelter from the horrible consequences of our sin, especially a broken relationship with God. And God is the one who offers such a shelter and refuge. David knows this and so declares in the opening verse of this psalm and takes refuge in God. Then he builds on this in verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. In a time of challenge, whether it be internal from the temptation of sin or external, David starts with God. He states, God, you are my refuge. You are my Lord. And he realizes that anything good, any good thing in his life is from God. It's a powerful image, isn't it? That idea of solace and sanctuary in God. Knowing God with you. Knowing that God is good. That God is a God of hope. That in him we can find our refuge in times of challenge. And in times of challenge, it's good to state, to remind ourselves that, Lord, you are my Lord. That's why we say the creed. No matter what our week has been or what lies ahead in the next week, it's an encouragement to state what we believe, the truths we know about God. But I think we need to be clear that it doesn't mean that David didn't have questions. Other psalms point us to David having questions. Have a look across the page in Psalm 13 and verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 13. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? We must never feel we have to put on a pretense with one another, but especially with God. We don't have to put on a front. We can approach God. But when those questions, when we have those doubts, those worries, then the encouragement is that we don't have them outside of God, away from God. We actually run to him and find in him our refuge. We will say, Lord, you are my Lord. It's personal. And we can know his peace. God is our refuge, especially in times of trouble. Interestingly, later on in Psalm 13, have a look at verses 5 and 6. In the same psalm, David says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So at the start of Psalm 16, our focus today, in the midst of challenge, David's starting point is to acknowledge God and to find refuge in him. Then in verses 3 and 4, there's a focus on fellowship. Verse 3. I say of the holy people in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Well, we all know one of the most challenging things about the last 18 months has been the challenge to have fellowship with one another. And some are still in that position of not being able to meet together. David says in verse 3 that the holy ones are the ones he wants to be with. Hasn't that been our experience in the last 18 months? It's been such a joy for those of us who have been able to gather together. We're so thankful for those who work so hard with the technology to put everything together so we could have Zoom meetings, YouTube services and fellowship. But we know there's nothing quite like being in church together, praising God, having those incidental conversations, that fellowship and that encouragement. So we've experienced and see the truth of what David says in verse 3. We need the fellowship and encouragement of one another. He's then able to say in verse 4 that those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. They may think they're seeking after hope. but he will not have anything to do with chasing after other gods. David knows that if he were to pursue and go after other gods, he would be walking away from the one true Lord, the Lord of his life, the one who brings good, the one who is the only one who is able to provide real refuge. In verses 3 and 4, David is making a clear choice to be with God's people, not chasing after other gods. In verses 5 and 6, David says, "Lord, you are my cup, my portion." And he knows actually his inheritance is in the Lord, is in God. Can you see he's saying, "Lord, you are sufficient, you are enough." For many, the world and all that is offered here and now, all that is temporary, all that will fade away, is their cup and portion. But David says, "Lord, you are my cup and portion." David then has further encouragement in verses 7 and 8. "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I will not be shaken." In verse 7, David is clear that God is the one who is able to guide him as he instructs his heart. And in verse 8, he has known and experienced God's help as he's kept his eyes always on the Lord. And we know that, don't we? God's guiding hand, the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to prompt us, to caution us, to encourage us. So verse 9 starts, "Therefore." Therefore, because of all the truths that David's just outlined, he's able to say this in verses 9 to 11. "Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." David testifies to God as his source of hope and security. He testifies to God's faithfulness and to God's guiding hand. And then in verse 11, that eternal perspective, so that one day he will be with God, in God's presence, in God's place, under God's blessing. And we can see that this was David's perspective understanding, as these verses are quoted in Acts chapter 22. If you just turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 25, it's on page 1093. Acts chapter 2 and verse 25. David said about Jesus, "I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Verses 9 to 11 of Psalm 16 that we've just read. And then verse 29 of Acts chapter 2 continues. "Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay." As with a number of the Psalms, they're to be read and understood at different levels. Psalm 16 tells of David's faith, hope in God's faithfulness, but equally about Jesus, the promised Messiah. David's hope of resurrection life, of eternity. Well, two of the verses that stood out to me, if you flick back to Psalm 16, was verse 2 when David says, "Lord, you are my Lord." And then in verse 8 when he says, "I will keep my eyes always on the Lord." David knows God, God's character of holiness, of love, compassion and forgiveness. And in the midst of challenge within and without, he does not let his eyes wander from him. We all know David other times did let his eyes wander, and that's why we have that amazing Psalm 51. But these verses in Psalm 16 are a real encouragement. David is fleeing for his life. He's seeking refuge and was able to know God's faithfulness. He was able to say, "You are my Lord," and to know God was his refuge. So as we pause and reflect on the past 18 months, not because the events and challenges of the past 18 months and other events and challenges that are not linked to COVID are over, finished. For many of us, they're still ongoing. But as we pause, we can use this psalm as an encouragement. David has said, "Lord, you are my Lord." He says, "I will keep my eyes always on the Lord." Are you and I able to say the words that David says in verse 2? "Lord, you are my Lord." We know because we live in the light of Jesus that God sent his own son, Jesus, to die and rise from the dead, that we might be able to say to God through Jesus, "You are my Lord." To know the joy and privilege to be able to have that relationship with God, to experience his incredible love, his amazing grace, his never-ending mercy, his compassion. If you're unsure whether you're able to say this morning to God, "Lord, you are my Lord," then hear God's call today. He longs that you come to him, that as David did, that you and I go to God for safety and refuge and say, "Lord, you are my Lord." There is nothing you need to do or I need to do. We simply need to do what David did and approach God and say in Jesus' name, "You are my Lord." God has done everything. He's the one who sacrificed his son. He's the one who's dealt with sin. He's the one who's dealt with death. Indeed, this is our focus as we'll shortly share the Lord's Supper together. In our natural condition, in our sin, we know, don't we? The Bible is clear. We face God's wrath. We're exposed. But Christ is our cover. He's our refuge. Whatever is going on in your life, in my life, we are all able to find refuge in him. The invitation is to everyone. If you've kept going in the past 18 months, even in the battle and challenge to your faith, then this psalm encourages you to keep going, to keep your eyes fixed on God and to know him as a refuge. But if you feel you've wandered away from God, if you feel you've given in and found solace in temptation, in other gods, you feel you've taken your eyes off Jesus, then hear the encouragement of the psalm this morning to seek God, to take refuge in him, to know his goodness, to know his cup and portion are sufficient, to know through Jesus your eternal inheritance is in him, to know that God loves you. He longs to guide and protect you and me. That you're able to bring your hurts, your worries, your challenges to God, just as David did in Psalm 13. But bring them knowing who God is. Hear the encouragement to refocus, to focus once again on our Heavenly Father, to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we know, don't we, that that's often a case of those practical things. How do we keep close to God? How do we draw near to him? How do we keep our eyes always fixed on him? Making sure we carve time out each day to be in God's presence in that sanctuary, to listen to him, to read his word, to speak with him, to pray, to praise him in listening to a song or singing a song. And if you and I have got out of that practice, just start gently. 1 or 2 minutes in a space, listen to a song, read a bit of the Bible, and then gradually build that up and just invite God to be with you. One of my verses this year, rather than New Year's resolution, was James 4:8, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." That's an unbelievable promise, isn't it? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The great thing about the Psalms, I think, is they're often written by people who are going through adversity. And they're honest about their doubts, their questions, their fears, their sin. But in their adversity, they prove God's goodness. And they're a great encouragement and spur to us that in the midst of all that may be going on in our lives, it's a call to refocus. As I mentioned, we live in the light of Jesus. We know just how powerful God's love is and the price he paid. that we may indeed trust and know God as our refuge, as our portion and cup. So whatever our condition, whatever your or my situation before God this morning, whether we've never known God as our Father and known forgiveness of sins through Jesus, or if we've known God but we've grown distant and our faith is weak and fragile, or if we feel close to God and strong in our faith, whatever your or my condition this morning, God says to you and me, come to me, find refuge. I am your Lord. I sent my son Jesus because I love you. He doesn't promise to take away our problems, but he promises to be our refuge, our hope. That famous verse from Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I pray for each one of us, whatever challenges we've faced in the last 18 months, whatever challenges we face in the coming days, weeks and months ahead, that we will all hear this call to find refuge in God. Amen.